What's better than this, guys? Being dudes here on the Draft Dudes podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Monday edition of the show. Kyle is in a state that borders mine, and I just hope to have a podcast host at the end of the week because I saw you post a picture of a bear outside your cabin in Tennessee. What is going on, my dude?
Hello, Mrs. Doubtfire style coming in today. Yeah, I'm here in the Great Smoky Mountains. I'm sitting in a big log cabin right now. My dad's getting married on Friday, so I drove down yesterday. Joe, I think this is the first time I've been like not in an airport, but south of the Mason-Dixon line, and haven't been with you in like 2 years. It sucks.
You should be prepared though, right? Like you're plenty equipped now to handle the south.
Yes, I've accustomed to the hospitality and the speed of life being a little bit slower than what I'm used to up north, and we're definitely getting it here in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. We went to a barbecue place yesterday, dude. The waiter came back every 2 minutes and was just like super nice.
Yeah, but I know that's not something you generally appreciate. You just want to be left alone.
Well, it was the Southern hospitality and charm, yeah. Really. And he kept bringing back different kind of like house sauces for the barbecue and stuff. Oh. So he like really ingratiated himself with our table very quickly.
Now, Western North Carolina, they have their mustard base sauce.
Yes. Yeah,
is that what you're rocking with?
Yeah, I had that yesterday and then some kind of – it was like a vinegar based.
Yeah, that's
– so it was like more clear.
Yep.
And that one was really good too. It had a nice tang at the end.
So what is your barbecue sauce of preference, or are you pretty much a chameleon? You can adapt to wherever you are regionally.
Give me anything.
Really? As long as
it's not super hot.
I've not given the mustard base a real honest look, I'll be honest.
You should try it. I thoroughly enjoyed it yesterday.
Tomato base and vinegar base, I pretty much rotate those, but I've never really tried it.
So today we were having a phone call. I called you and I was talking about something else and I don't remember how we got on this subject, but I proposed an idea to you that the Jacksonville Jaguars should trade defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. And you and I had a brief discussion that we shut down because we actually wanted to have it on the podcast for once instead of doing two podcasts in one day. One where we talk on the phone for 30 minutes and then decide what we want to talk about when we could have just had the phone conversation on the pod. So we have some differing ideas as far as Yannick and what his trade value would look like. Joe, I actually never bothered to ask you, do you think the Jaguars should trade Yannick Ngakoue, who's entering the last year of his rookie deal and has been a phenomenal player for the Jaguars, but they keep investing in the defensive line with Taven Bryan and Josh Allen over the past 2 years as first-round picks. And you'd have to assume the writing's on the wall there that the assumption is they're not going to be able to retain everybody, and Yannick's super cheap because he was a third-round pick.
Well, this is a subject that's very near and dear to my heart after just watching my Charlotte Hornets let the best player in franchise history walk for no returns because they wanted to keep him to compete for the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference last year. And I'm not about letting top talents leave your organization without a king's ransom in return. And so I look at the Jaguars, and you mentioned it already, the forward thinking that they've had with several moves. You mentioned Taven Bryan and Josh Allen with Malik Jackson and likely Yannick Ngakoue being in his last season in Jacksonville if they don't make a move before the season, as well as drafting Ronnie Harrison with being in mind that Tayshaun Gibson's a player that they were going to have to move on from. So Jacksonville's shown this thought process already in recent years. And here's the deal, man. The Jacksonville Jaguars, right, if you look at the salary cap space in 2020 after this season, Jacksonville is negative $34 million when it comes to the salary cap in 2020. Brother, you are not going to add Yannick Ngakoue at $20 million a season. It ain't going to happen. There's no course to it. There's no course to keeping Yannick Ngakoue. And so they don't even have control. They can't even think about the salary cap or a tag. They've got to trade him now and get something for him. And if you look at recent history, we've had some deals for pass rushers that kind of set the market. I think they would be better served parting with him now and making sure that they get some returns for one of the best pass rushers in football.
Yeah, Joe, what we're going to do later this week, we're going to talk about the dynamics of NBA free agency and its timing versus NFL free agency and its timing. And one thing that kind of struck me talking with you just talking about Yannick as far as another parallel to the NBA is you think about the Toronto Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, right? They traded for Kawhi as Kawhi is entering the final year of his deal. And that was viewed as a high-risk trade because Kawhi, from all perception, wanted to go to California. And playing in Toronto was, like, not what he wanted to do. So if you're a team that's going to trade for Yannick Ngakoue now, you do have some risk. Now, granted, you have some more control because you can implement the franchise tag if you wanted to. But it is a little bit of a risk because we're going to be debating what the price tag is for Yannick. But either way, it's going to be a pretty penny for a guy that you don't know if he's going to want to stay with your team long term. So you would at maximum get 3 years of control for him. And that's a lot of control, but you'd also be paying a ton of money in addition to the capital that you give up. So this trade isn't without its own sets of risks because you're either going to have to pay Yannick or you're going to have to hope that you can convince him to stay if he goes somewhere that he's not super enamored with, or you're going to have to strong arm him the same for a couple of years. And then it comes down to the price tag for what you'd have to give.
Kyle, I think the last couple of weeks on this podcast have revealed loud and clear that I'm not a math guy, but I'm enough of a math guy to let you know that we've got a math problem here. And I have no idea how you factor in Yannick Ngakoue's salary on the books in 2020. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I don't think he can. I don't think he fits for the Jaguars. So I agree that a trade is the most logical course of action for the Jaguars. But if you start looking from the teams that would be the suitors, and all of that risk gets factored into the cost of what you would offer the Jaguars, and then knowing on top of that, these guys are hung up by their balls here.
Right.
They're in a tough spot.
Yeah.
And there is no way out for them. They're either going to let him walk and they'll recoup a third round pick. And that's where the, mm-hmm. with the comp picks, right? So that's kind of assuming that they don't spend in free agency elsewhere, which you would assume that they won't because they can't, but I guess we'll find out. I think that gives you a little bit of a strike zone for what a trade value is, because you know at the very worst they would get a late third round pick, and you're going to have to give him something that's going to incentivize losing a year of his play and make them pull the trigger.
So I think it's pretty clear that Jacksonville either has to win the Super Bowl this year with Yannick Ngakoue, or they've botched this situation like the Hornets did with Kemba Walker.
And you got to trade him. They haven't botched it yet, but there's potential. So my argument to you on the phone was, I think the trade value for Yannick Ngakoue falls in line with what we saw the San Francisco 49ers trade for Dee Ford from the Kansas City Chiefs. Ford was a player on a franchise tag, got traded for a future second round pick in 2020. You seem to feel he's more on the end of the Frank Clark spectrum. Can you elaborate any as to
I think he's a better player. I mean, I just feel like caliber of player here. We've got a 24-year-old pass rusher that has led the NFL in hits on the quarterback over the last three seasons, his first three seasons in the league, 30 sacks basically in three seasons. I believe that he demands more than a future second round pick. If you can, if Yannick Ngakoue can be had for a future 2020 pick, then the Seahawks, Bills, Dolphins, Colts, Saints, Giants, Buccaneers, they line should up, all man. Be calling him right, them right now and getting that done. There's no.
Well, and I think that that's the thing that's in your favor here is I think there's a much bigger market for Yannick.
Well, he's a younger, better player than Dee Ford.
Well, how much better is he than Dee Ford?
Would both of the hosts of this podcast agree that we would rather have Yannick Ngakoue than Dee Ford?
I do. But from a production standpoint, Dee Ford has 25 sacks in the last 3 years, and mm-hmm. he missed 10 games in 2017.
He's 4 years older. 14. He's 4 years older with some injury concerns.
If he played a full 10 or 16 game seasons in 2017, and I know if ifs and buts were candy nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, and that's not the point here. I'm just stating. If D played a full 2017, he would have more sacks, more quarterback hits than what Yannick Ngakoue has.
Would he line? 2 years. Would he line up in the neutral zone on a fourth down to give the pick?
That's not what we're talking about here, damn it! And I don't know why you're dunking on me with that because that
I know because that's all I think about when I think about with D Ford. No, I think it is. It's the age. It's the injuries. It's the consistency. I mean. Look at where Yannick Ngakoue was 3 years into his career compared to where Dee Ford was 3 years into his career. I think there's a higher ceiling. I think every arrow points to Yannick Ngakoue being a more desirable player than Dee Ford. And here's the deal. Like it was a lot of it was about getting something for Dee Ford, but it was also that they just weren't going to be able to pay him, right? He will end up signing a 5-year, $87 million deal with the 49ers that the Chiefs were just never really going to be in position to give him. And they kind of traded off some of the offsets to get Frank Clark, right? That I'm considering right now in this Ngakoue deal. To me, Kyle, of these pass rushers that have been traded recently, Yannick Ngakoue is the best one. And so when I think about trade parameters, I'm looking more like looking at that Frank Clark deal as really where that conversation starts.
All right, now here is where, and this you're going to kill me here because you know how much I loved Yannick Ngakoue coming out and how much I love him now.
Yeah, you should be dunking all over this.
Yannick Ngakoue is 245.
He's always been 245 pounds though.
I know, and to give him credit, he has played in over 700 snaps in each of his three seasons in the NFL. But do you think Frank Clark's a better run defender than Yannick Ngakoue?
Probably.
Do you think Yannick Ngakoue at 245 pounds is going to be universally less applicable to all schemes across the NFL than what Frank Clark is at 265 pounds?
Yeah, but I don't know that I'm going to let run defense be what is going to sway me. I know which one's the best pass rusher.
I don't disagree with you that Yannick is probably the best pass rusher out of this group, but as an overall all-encompassing player.
I will say this.
I think that's the divide, and that's why, because Dee Ford, for me, is kind of in that same bucket where I know he's a great speed rusher, but he's a little undersized. He doesn't meet size thresholds for all the teams, so some teams are just inevitably going to be lower on him for stupid reasons. I'm not saying it should be right. But Frank Clark at, 6'5", 265 pounds, and a better run defender can go to any defensive system in the NFL, and a team can be like, okay, we'll put him at defensive end, and he's going to play there all three downs.
If I'll say anything about Yannick Ngakoue's run defense, and I just have Pro Football Focus up, his first year he graded as a run defender, ready for this, 29.5, okay?
Not great.
Rose to 55.3 in 2017 and 60 in 2018. So if any, I mean, like at least there's been growth there. We're never going to think about Yannick Ngakoue as a great run defender. And that's fine right. with me because he's a great pass rusher.
What's his pass rush grade? Probably so crazy, like high 80s.
65.2 in 16, 88.2 in 17, and 76.8 in 18.
So he had a quote-unquote down year with 33 quarterback hits and 9.5 sacks last year.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because PFF does it differently than I think like Pro Football Reference. They had gave him, in terms of total pressures, hits, hurries, and sacks, combined. Yeah, 47 in 16, 82 in 17, and 64 in 18.
82 combined pressures? Right.
Yep, they gave him 53 hurries, 15 hits, and 14 sacks in 2017 is what PFF's credited Yannick Ngakoue.
How many hits?
53. Or hits, 15. Hurries, 53.
15. How many? And that was 2017? Yeah. What do you do 2018 for pressures?
64.
And how many of those were hits?
Hits were 24.
Okay. So we are looking at different kinds of numbers here.
Right.
Because this credits Yannick with 33 hits in 2018. And then 23 hits in 2017, which was one was higher, one was lower than Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I haven't charted it myself, so I don't know who I side with, but.
So the Frank Clark trade was what exactly?
They gave up, I have it right here, a one, a three, and a two. First and third in 2019, and a second in 2020. They got a one, a two, and a three.
You're not getting that for Yannick Ngakoue, I'm sorry. Not with the Jaguars being so hung out to dry. Not with Yannick being perceived as a limited three-down player because he's not just plug and play for every system in the NFL. And not because you're going to have to pay him. At least when you're acquiring D Ford, he's already on a franchise tag. So you already have accounted for the cap hit with the guaranteed money. For Yannick, you're going to have to also pay him cash capital, make sure you have created room to accommodate his cash capital. Those are the reasons why I think the D Ford trade is closer to the return that you would get for Yannick Ngakoue than Frank Clark.
Well, they're substantially different. In terms of what they get back, one's just getting a two. Another one's getting a one, two, and a three.
Right. And that's why when you said the D4 trade was like the Kemba Walker trade because they had to get something for him, right? How is that any different than what the Jaguars' position is right now? They've misplayed the cap to the point where you either have to get something for him now or he's going to walk and you'll get a three as a comp pick. And that's it.
So what do you think the Jaguars can get? Like, I guess that's what we have to go back to is with all of this discussion points that we've made, what do you think Jacksonville will get in return for Yannick Ngakoue?
I think they could get if I were offering to trade for Yannick Ngakoue, that's the best speculation I can give you.
Yeah.
Is based on my perceptions of the strengths and weaknesses of the situation. I would offer a two, and then I would offer a pick swap of like, you get my three and I get your five.
You think that gets it done?
That would be, I can't give you a one and a three or a one and a two. There's just no way. What do you think is the minimum that would get the job done? I think a guaranteed, if you want to get it done, you give him a one. But what if you go out and suck? You just gave up a top 10 pick for Yannick Ngakoue, and then you got to pay him $20 million a year?
Every situation is different, right? So there's certain teams where it would make more sense to offer a one than others. But I think every team, when they make their first round pick in 2020, pretty much every one of them would be happy if it wound up being Yannick Ngakoue, right? So but
you're missing part of the value of a right, first
is the economics of the deal.
The economics of the payment, right. Yeah.
So every team's different in that regard. If I'm Seattle, and I've got the most cap space in football next year, and I have Russell Wilson who walks on the field and wins 10 games a season, and I ain't got nothing as a pass rusher.
But even though that flies in the face of what Seattle wants, and I know exactly what you're going to say, and I agree with you. If your defense can't fit Yannick Ngakoue, you need to fix your defense. Right. But we just saw him take LJ Collier. You know, like that's the kind of player that they want, and that's not Yannick Ngakoue.
If I'm the New England Patriots and I have $42 million in cap space next year, and I'm guaranteeing that pick's going to be in the late 20s, probably in the 30s, let's be honest. I'm not offering my one for Yannick Ngakoue. Because I might want to draft Jake Fromm at the end of the first round to replace Tom Brady. I don't know, man.
What kind of role do you think he fits in that defense?
Patriots?
Just third down specialist, or is he like the Elan and Roberts, Jamie Collins?
Right, that's exactly what he is. A big pain in the ass, just like those guys.
Yep. I don't know. I guess if you're one of those like four perennial contenders, you could make the case for a one, but we're not talking a one, a two, and a three, right?
Okay, so I think if I'm Jacksonville, I want to get a first round pick in return for Yannick Ngakoue.
And so you put the feelers out?
Yeah, that's where I started. And what I think the leverage, you know, if I'm another team, I'll be like, look, you know you can't keep him. This is it. You have 16 games left of Yannick Ngakoue, and then he's gonna walk and you're gonna get a third round pick. For me, what I'm gonna say is, well, okay, that's fine with me. We're 1 year removed from losing the AFC championship game, and we've upgraded our quarterback position. And so I think you can find reasons to eliminate that desperation from the conversation to some degree.
So if you're Jacksonville, you're putting out the feeler and saying, I want a first round pick for Yannick Ngakoue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my counter is I'll give you a one and a two, or a two and a three, and then you give me your five. Well, because if you go off the trade value chart, right? Let's say hypothetically, you've got the 40th, you finished picking 40th, which would be like the eighth pick. 500 and 230 is 730 minus that same slot in the fifth round is 30. So you're talking 700 points. That's the value of the 26th pick in the draft.
Well, yeah. And I think certain teams' second round picks would be appealing to me. Think about Miami, right? You think you're probably going to get a top 40 pick.
And they've got two second round picks next year.
Right. So I would say I want your higher second round pick. If I'm Miami, I'm getting that deal done because that edge rusher situation is a disaster. And you get a 24-year-old proven guy in his prime.
Jackson. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a
and
team.
They've got the cap.
Right. Yes. Yes. So I think that's an example of a team where if I'm Jacksonville, I say, I consider that too because a lot of teams, it doesn't make sense to add Yannick Ngakoue for the economic perspective of the deal and where they are as a football team.
So Tampa
Bay. What if you're Tampa Bay? Wouldn't you do that for a second round pick?
Hell yeah.
$46 million next year?
Get what Noah Spence was supposed to be?
Right. That's a good point. Before we wrap, I do want to ask you a question about Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, go ahead. Shoot, man.
This is one of your all-time hits, Yannick Ngakoue.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And you were probably not as high as you wanted to be on Ngakoue, but you were higher than everybody else. When you go back to his tape and you think about what made him kind of twinkle in your eyes a little bit, what did you subscribe to that you think maybe other people didn't give him enough credit for?
Do you remember I'm going to throw Brian under the bus here.
Brian Perez?
Yeah, you remember Mobile? We're sitting there in the hotel room. I'm like, dude, you got to watch Yannick Ngakoue. You have to watch him. And Perez turned on, like, I think it was the Ohio State game. And he goes, I mean, yeah, he's okay. I'm like, what do you mean he's okay? He's amazing. I mean, I'm pulling up my report just because I want to make sure my quote here is accurate. I had him 50th.
Mm-hmm.
50th overall. Yannick Ngakoue shows wonderful movement skills for a thick-framed edge defender. Ngakoue will best fit as a rush linebacker in a three-man defensive front system, so I was projecting him as a 3-4 outside linebacker. This will enable him to utilize his dynamic first step to win with speed and favorable angles and build more distance to convert speed to power. Now, I will say Jacksonville, when they run the 4-3 underlooks, he does get those favorable angles.
Mm-hmm.
Ngakoue is a loose mover who has no issues unlocking his hips or playing laterally. He's capable of carrying a strong amount of speed through transitions. Where Ngakoue struggles is at the point of attack as a run defender, is capable of dropping into a favorable run fit to carry out his primary responsibility, but does need to improve with shedding blocks. Hands are efficient and responsibility. Our hands are efficient and transition from one counter to another. Needs to incorporate more one-arm stacks to compromise for lack of length in his natural frame. So for me, it was, he's dense, right? He's 6'2", 250, 245. So he's dense, but he still has that mobility in his hips, and he's really bursty off the line of scrimmage. He had a 1.65 10-yard split, so that's a good 10-yard split time. And his ability to corner with leverage, because he's so dense in the right spots, allowed him to convert a lot of speed to power despite being an undersized guy. So you see a lot of these, like, 250-pound guys, and the concern is, well, what kind of power does he have in his game? And Yannick never had an issue with that because he's just a bulldog. He'll naturally get up under your pads and collapse you, and he has that component to his game where if he does have space and he is working with favorable angles, you've got to accommodate for the speed, and he's going to get you so far back on your heels that he will blow through you despite the fact that he's 245 pounds.
Let me ask you this. Throw away where every team is in terms of salary cap or competitive balance, what team in the NFL do you believe would be tailor-made to maximize what Ngakoue brings to the table? Who do you trust? Which defense?
Ironically, that Patriots spinoff and that Jamie Collins type role, right?
Uh-huh.
That to me feels like a no-brainer.
I mean, but does that open the door for all the Belichick disciples? Does that mean he can work in Miami? Or do we need to learn more about what it's going to look like in Miami? Does that mean he works in Detroit?
Well, that's why they drafted Andrew Van Ginkle in the 5th round, who I thought was an undraftable guy, but they drafted him to play that role, is what he's essentially going to try to be, is a guy who's a linebacker, but he's kind of a rush. They signed Jayrone Elliott out of the AAF. Who had like 10 sacks in 7 games or whatever they played, who dabbled with the Packers for a little bit. And it's the same vision. They're trying to replicate that role. So they, knowing that role is there and available in that defense, yeah, I think he would work in Miami. I think he'd work fine in Miami. I'm trying to think of base 3-4 teams that I think would make sense.
What about Pittsburgh, opposite of Watt?
That would be really fun. I think
Watt's freaking good, man.
Yeah. I think he'd be good in he just seems like a Baltimore Raven
too. I don't say that.
Replace Terrell Suggs.
They've got $36 million in cap space next year too. They've got 61 guys under contract. That's a pretty high number too.
They are they lost a lot on defense next year.
Very different looking team this year.
Feel for them to a certain degree, but they'll test what that drafting was like because they drafted all those guys. The Matt Judons, who I think is a stud. Tim Williams. Yep. They'll get an opportunity to roll some of these guys out here and see what they can do, but it's going to be a test of kind of the same theory that we've seen the Jaguars apply to of you got to draft forward thinking.
They have a Juan Price, Tim Williams, Tyus Bowser, Jalen Ferguson, like kind of an interesting group.
Yeah.
See if the next Elvis Dumervil and Terrell Suggs are in that mix.
I'll tell you what, Yannick Ngakoue would be a better pass rusher than all of them.
Right.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that. Well, I'm glad we had this materialize on us, Joe. This was a good conversation.
Yeah.
We didn't yell. We didn't bite each other's heads off, so that was nice. We made it to 30 minutes. We kept it pretty crisp, pretty clean. We'll be back tomorrow for Takes on Takes. I'll be recording Takes on Takes from the Great Smoky Mountains, Joe.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they were called the Great Smoky Mountains. That adds a new layer to the name for me.
They are 100%. But I'm expecting at some point for you to sing Rocky Top on this podcast to make up for our good friend Roger Dixon, who failed to live up to his bet.
Listen, Gator Great Roger Dixon did not sing Rocky Top. I'll see what I can do. I'll be practicing all week.
Looking forward to
it. You got hot takes. Hit us with hot takes. Joe is at the Joe Marino. I am at Grinding the Tape on Twitter. Takes on Takes tomorrow. We got a fun conversation coming up on Wednesday as well. So hit subscribe. Come on back. Check us out. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.